Thank you very much, choir, for doing such a lovely job. And we want to thank Brother Tony and Sister Patty for all yours.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to read with you from Genesis chapter 24, please. Genesis chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but that thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred to take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Suppose the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land where from whence thou comest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son there again. Verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down the pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have finished drinking. Verse 29, And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well, and it came to pass when he saw the ring and the bracelets upon his sister's wrists. And when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spoke the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou outside? For I have prepared the house and room for thy camels. And the man came in to the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set food before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And they said, Speak on. We'll go down to verse 49. And now, if he will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. The portion that we have read is a part of the fulfilling of the word of the Lord to Abraham, and in the Bible it's called the Abrahamic covenant. One of many covenants made by God, from the Garden of Eden down to this present time, and it is absolutely wonderful to look through the word of God and to prove from his precious word that he is a God who can be trusted. This part of the story is right in the middle of his dealing out to Abraham the truth of his word. You remember that he called Abraham out of Mesopotamia, the same place that Abraham sent his servant for a wife for his son. And he promised Abraham, I will make thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand that is upon the seashore. And he covenanted, he made an arrangement with Abraham by his word, which cannot fail, what he would do for him. And in order for that to be done, Abraham had to have a son. And Abraham was old, and Sarah was old. And when the Lord came to them and promised them a son, Sarah, as you remember, laughed because she realized that, humanly speaking, she was past age. And yet, in the story that we read together, that son is grown, and the servant is off looking for a wife for him. And in order for God's word to continue to be prospered, his mission must be successful. Maybe not with Rebekah, but with someone, because he promised him that his seed would be as the sands of the seashore. Isn't it wonderful to read the end of that story? The servant in the way. He talks to the God of his master. And he asks him to provide for him so that he knows that he's doing what he, God, wants him to do. Send me a young woman. Let her be of such a sweet disposition that she will take her pitcher off her shoulder, give me to drink. Now remember, he had 10 camels with him. Somebody has said that 10 camels, after traveling the distance that they did, would probably need about 4 barrels of water. And she had a pitcher that she could carry, being a young woman. And in order for her to agree to what he wanted God to have her do, she would have to say to a man she didn't know, Here is water, and I will feed them too. And she did. God was in this. And God had, I am sure, picked the right person for the right job. But you know, this is not the only place in the Bible where God's word is tested. And there is no place in the Bible where God's word is tested or given where God does not live up to his word. This is one of what Bible scholars call 8 covenants that God made with men. All of them but one depends on man keeping a part of the bargain. But there is one. One that was signed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, called the New Covenant. Absolutely unconditional. There's absolutely nothing that man can do to change it. It will work whether man agrees or not. If no man had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God, as far as his righteousness was concerned, would be totally satisfied. because of the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that's not the way it is. The covenants very quickly are the covenant of Eden. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. It says, if you eat, you will die. Somebody has said that there are two things that God hath joined together that no man can put asunder. No, it's not man and wife. It's sin and death. God said to Adam and to Eve, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I want in this simple message to get this truth across. God is trustworthy. God said, if you eat, you will die. The devil said, if you eat, you will not surely die. They ate, and they died. It's very simple, but it's the truth. Adam placed upon himself natural death, and he died. And he placed upon himself and you and me spiritual death. And when Adam ate, he died spiritually. Secondly, there is the covenant called the covenant with Adam, Genesis chapter 3. It says that, and he's speaking to the serpent, the seed of the woman, this is very important, not the seed of the man, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall bruise thy head, you serpent, but you shall bruise his heel. Seems like the other way round if you look at the fulfillment of that, because that was fulfilled at Calvary. Doesn't it seem, humanly speaking, that Jesus was the one who died and his head was bruised? But it wasn't. He bruised the serpent's head. On that cross, death died. The enemy was defeated. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered us, who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. God's word is true. Thousands of years passed by. One day, the seed of the woman bruised the serpent's head at the place called Calvary. God's word is true. And then the covenant with Abraham. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thy seed, again Calvary, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He gave the people of Palestine a covenant. This land is your land. Well, you say, maybe the Lord missed on that one. That land still isn't theirs. Oh, it's theirs all right. Do you know that as believers, you and I are justified and glorified? I don't look like it, do I? But that's what God says. If God says it, I believe it. God says that the land is theirs. It belongs to the children of Abraham, and one day, from the river Euphrates to the Great Sea, and from north to south, where their foot trod will be theirs. It's theirs now by inheritance. One day they'll walk on it, and it will belong to them because God says so. 2 Samuel 7 and 16, the Davidic covenant. The covenant with David. To thy house, he said to the man after his own heart, to thy house, thy kingdom, and thy throne shall be established forever. Well, you say, maybe the Lord didn't quite get that one right either. It's been nearly 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus came, and there's been no king on the throne at Jerusalem. There's been no king there for a long time. The last time the Jews crowned a king from David's line, they crowned him with thorns. And from that moment on, they placed themselves under the punishment of God. Today, they are still wandering, many of them, still throughout the earth, paying for what they did to him. But there will come a day when they will own the one who died on that cross as their king. Would you like to read about it? Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. This is the day when the Lord Jesus shall return, not to take us home, not to return as he did so that he would die, but when he comes as in power and great glory, A rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 6 says, and the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. That's God's word. It hasn't happened yet either, but it's going to happen. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den, and they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand for an ensign to the peoples. To him shall the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. There is coming a day when the one who you've heard preached about for all of your life will reign and rule on this earth in Jerusalem, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There was the Mosaic covenant, what we consider the law. You know what the law says? This do, and thou shalt live. And it proved itself to be incapable. Because of his weakness? No. It could not, along with providing you with the knowledge of sin, it could not give you the ability to overcome sin. Like a schoolmaster, the Bible says, it told you you were wrong. It didn't have the power to give you how to do what was right. It's too conditional. But there is the new covenant, ratified by the Lord Jesus Christ with his blood at the place called Calvary. It doesn't say, this do and thou shalt live. He says, I've done it all. All you have to do is trust me. It rests upon an accomplished redemption that was paid for at the place which is called Calvary. Rebecca was asked the question. She saw what the servant had brought. She heard the stories as he unfolded them to her mother, to her father, and her brother. She knew who Abraham was, her uncle. She knew by now that Isaac was back home waiting for her. And her mother and her father, like most mothers and fathers, told the servant, let her stay just a little while, just 10 days. While they meant that for good, it is a solemn warning that those that you know that are not saved, and these people I don't think were saved, they were back in a place where there were idols. The idols were still there. Isaac married Rebekah because she did go back home with the servant. Rebekah and Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob plotted and schemed against his brother and his father, went back to his mother's home, married Leah, though he wanted to marry Rachel, married Rachel afterwards, schemed against his father-in-law, left home, and went back. And do you know what they found, or what they didn't find, in Rachel's pack? Idols. After all of that time, these people were probably not saved. So they said, leave her here for a while, just 10 days. That's what the world wants you to do. The world, the devil especially, hardly comes to us today and says, this story of Christianity is all wrong. He comes and says, it's all right, but look at what you're going to miss. Why don't you stay here for a while? They had the wisdom. He had the wisdom to say, no, don't hold me up. I have a task to perform. I need to go back to my master. And so they wisely said, ask the damsel. So they said, wilt thou go with this man? Serious question. She said, after a long pause, after walking back and forth and trying to figure this out, whether it would work or not? No. Probably for his question, died in the ear, she said, I will go. And God's word stayed true. She went back with Isaac, found him out in the field, and they were married. And God's word, as I said, stayed true. But you know, God has a absolutely remarkable way of fulfilling his word. If you were to read in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, how that God through Abraham brought the Lord Jesus into the world, you would find listed there some people who are people of ill repute. Gives me, should give us hope. God takes the vilest sinner and makes him clean. Do you know who is in the line of Abraham to the Lord Jesus? Well, there's Tamar. Tamar, who played the harlot. There was Rahab, who was a harlot full time. You remember that when Joshua would take Jericho, he sent spies into the land. And those spies went into the house of Rahab. And when the king was looking for them, she hid them up in the roof. And she, recognizing, because she had heard of the power of God in opening up the Red Sea and of destroying the enemies of the children of Israel, she said, I want to be saved. Is that what she said? Well, I think so. She said, I want you to help me in my father's house. Don't forget us when you come to destroy Jericho. And they said, put a scarlet line in the window, a scarlet cord, and when we see it, we will save you and all of those inside the house. Reminds you of the Passover a few years ago back in Egypt. The scarlet thread runs right through this Bible of mine, this Bible of yours. It's a scarlet thread that began when God the Father, looking at his first children, Adam and Eve, saw their sin, killed a lamb, clothed them with the skin of the animal. And from then on, right down until all of those Bible pictures were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. And I believe that's what the scarlet cord spoke about, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, hang it up. We will see it and we will protect you. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 2 or Joshua chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6, that when they left the house, now they weren't coming back for a while. When they left the house, she hung the cord. How unlike people who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They listen to the gospel message over and over and over again. And you know, they really intend to be saved. I don't believe if there's anybody in this room tonight who is not a Christian, I don't believe there's a person here who wants to go to hell. Why are they not saved? Why don't they say, God's word is true. I need to be saved now and do as Rahab did. The Bible says that when Jericho was destroyed, Joshua told his men to go in and take Rahab and her family and keep them outside the camp. And that woman lived to have children because she is in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come forward with me a few thousand years, a couple of thousand years. There's a man sitting outside the gate of Jericho. Same place where Rahab was. And he's blind. He can't see, and he's also a beggar. He has nothing. If you have something that to offer the Lord Jesus, think of Bartimaeus. He has absolutely nothing, but he's heard about him. I'm sure he's heard about him. Jesus is passing by for the very last time, going to Jerusalem to die for you and for me. And for Bartimaeus, and for Rahab, and for Rebecca, and for Isaac. And as he passes by, Bartimaeus hears the crowd, and he asks those around him, what does this noise mean?
And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. I don't think Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was passing by for the last time. All he knew that was Jesus. And he started to shout himself, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I wonder what you and I would have done if we had been on a mission like the Lord Jesus. He had the whole world to save, you know. He had to go, and these people all around him wanted to make him king. They, as far as they were concerned, this crowd, this multitude, were going into Jerusalem, and they were going to overthrow the Roman government because this man had given sight to the blind, had given life to the dead. He had healed them. He had fed them with nothing. Surely he could overthrow Rome. This was going to be his crowning day. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. There are things to do here bigger than you. There's nothing bigger than a lost soul to the Lord Jesus. And I don't think you and I could have stopped that crowd. They were probably pushing. But the Lord stopped them. And he called for Bartimaeus. And he said, what do you want, Bartimaeus? The Bible says, he said, what would you that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, he didn't lie about his need. He said, Lord, I'm blind. I need to see. But you know, that spelt faith. If you can believe that someone can heal you, give you sight to blinded eyes, you are expressing faith in him. And the Lord said, you can have what you ask for, but I'll give you more as a result of your faith. You can see, and thy faith has saved you. Go in peace. Bartimaeus, wilt thou go with this man? Bartimaeus would look around and say, can't you see what I'm doing? The Bible says that Bartimaeus turned around and followed him in the way. You don't have to ask Bartimaeus, will you go with this man? Bartimaeus is already on the road. What about you tonight? On what road are you traveling? Two roads we're on in this meeting tonight. Broad road leads to destruction. Many are on it. Narrow road leads to life, few that find it. But it's available to everybody. Why aren't you on it? Why haven't you, like Rebecca, said yes when you've been asked so many times in so many meetings like this, wilt thou go with this man? Have you any idea what it's like to be rejected? Go back in your mind, some of us for many years, some of us for only a few, some of us for only a few days. Go back in your mind to a time when you looked into the eyes of somebody you loved, and you had every right probably to expect the right answer. You've rehearsed it a lot of times. You've looked forward to it. It should be a happy day. You don't know why you're sweating. Your palms are cold and you're shaking from head to toe. You know she loves you because she's told you so several times over the months or over the years. But it's what you do. It's time to ask. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't walk down the road, look at Bartimaeus and said, I know his need. I'm God. I'll save him. Do you know what Bartimaeus said to do? He had to ask. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And so, you whip up the courage. Maybe it's romantic and maybe it isn't. Maybe you're out to dinner or maybe you're standing on the beach. Maybe you have worn beautiful clothes and maybe she does too. But one thing you know, she's the most beautiful person on the face of the earth. And you say to her, at long last, will you marry me? Unsaved friend, if you're here tonight, I want you to imagine her saying back to you, you know, that's a good question. As a matter of fact, I think it's one of the best questions I've ever been asked. In fact, most of the people that I know, Even my mother and father are married. I really approve of this thing you're talking to me about. But their mother and father are married. I've got brothers and sisters who are married. I agree with this 100%.